It just touched me to see all these preachers here. That is wonderful. I just appreciate, brethren, that think enough of a preacher to come like you have here tonight. I love you. God bless you. And how you got in a meeting that I don't know. I thought the power of God was going to fall. Well, the Sunday school superintendent's got more fire than a lot of folks I've met. Have mercy. I got to looking at him. I'm getting older. I hate to admit it. I don't make folks out across the building like I used to. I used to be able to see people behind me. I mean, still do once in a while. I overheard two sisters talking about me a while back while I was off preaching in a meeting at my church. I overheard them talking about me 1,000 miles from them. I got home. I told them. I said, children, don't do that. I said, God's going to get you for that. One of them brought me a $10 bill, and the other apologized to me. Amen. I love the power of God and God's people. I just love to see the Lord work. That deacon just stirred my heart over there. I'll tell you what. It's good to be with you. I like you. We're going to win if we keep on trying. I have a request for you, and it's from Oklahoma, Indian Territory. Brother J.O. York, when you think of J.O. York down there, you think of your oldest elders up here. You think of Vince and Grant and others that's been in here for years, brother, and it's worked for God, and God has used them. Well, that's the way J.O. is down in our country. Many, many, many years ago, he's 80, about 80 now. He's the man that in Oklahoma City, when I was going through town, the Spirit bid me stop at the University Hospital and walk in the county commissioner. His brother, the county commissioner, that county where J.O. lived, and he's standing in the lobby, and he said, L.D., he's gone. He's dead. J.O.'s dead. I said, don't believe a word of it. Rushed up the steps to the fifth floor, walked in, and there stood a preacher on the other side of the bed, a nurse working frantically on this side. They give him wrong bloods what they done to him. But they don't admit them things, and how can you expect them to? He is gone, he said. He stepped up to the bed, and when it did, the power of God come down on this preacher on the other side. He went speaking in tongues like the superintendent of schools did in Ohio a few nights back. You got a good job when you're a school teacher. And if you're the principal of the school, that's pretty good. And if you're the superintendent of the school, that's pretty good. But if you are the superintendent of schools, you have got the big ball of wax. God's Holy Ghost. Upset the equilibrium. Went beyond the plan. When you get to where you got to have 10 minutes for this and 13 minutes for that and 17 minutes for something else, you're going to get in a jam. God's Spirit's going to leave you. Amen. Amen. You've got to be willing for the Lord to have His way, for God to move, for God to undertake, the power of the Lord to bless the people. I know you all believe in that, and I love you for it. But let me tell you about Joe. Let me get to him. He is a man of God that argued. He studied the Bible to argue. He wanted to fuss about it. And one day while he's studying, Spirit spoke to him. Give me your heart, J.O. York. Give me your heart. He made one of our greatest preachers. Now, he knew that Bible. Last time I went to see him, he's about 80. He is down, sick. But let me tell you, when he's in the hospital there, and I walked in that room, that preacher went talking in tongues on the other side of that bed. That's what made me mention the Holy Ghost. He would speak, and that nurse, she'd come back off of that. I got this step back, says you can't help him no more, no how. You done lost it. There ain't no use you fooling with him. You know, we didn't pray 5 minutes for J.O. to open his eyes and said, hello, L.D. How are you? I said, anyhow, I am. It's how you are. His son-in-law, superintendent of a little oil company, out in the hallway, looked in and seen what happened. Lost. He knew about God, but he's lost. He looked in there and seen that, and he got danger. He went up and down the hall, pumping his fist up in there, and everybody meet said, God is real. Just waiting for somebody to say he wasn't. He didn't know what else to do. He stirred. God is real. He got a peep in on that. He seen that. J.O. come out of that and went home. That's been 25 years ago. But He's down with a bad stroke tonight. And his wife and children have sent word here and said, tell Brother Moore that Joe's down. He's down bad. Well, he's down good, but he's down bad too. He ain't afraid of it. You know, there's a woman over yonder in the hospital ain't afraid of it. Yeah. Why, she told us, if I die, I win, and if I live, I win. Hallelujah. Me and Ralph tried to testify to her, and she testified to us, so we put in there, felt like having her pray for us before we left. I want to live like that and die like that, don't you? It wasn't in my plans. Of course, I ain't never had too many plans, no how. I was out 7 years the last time, and I don't have any reflection on anybody, because every man is his man, and I never could schedule over 2 or 3 months ahead, because I'd get mixed up in a meeting somewhere, and the power of God would fall. Lord, he'd go to work, and I couldn't get where I was supposed to go, so I just quit telling him I'd be there at any special time. It's a little shaky sometimes. I know I was at home, and I was sick, and had that old flu, I stayed sick, and the Lord started sending me money. I was evangelist from the very day I got sick by mail till I got well. Never called or told nobody it's down. He just sent it in the mail till I got well. And when I got well, I cut it off. You know, this way. Some folks amaze me how they talk about how God works. But, you know, I mean, God, you can't fool the Lord. Were there not 10? He keeps records. Where is the 9? He knows just exactly how many. He's not an exaggerator. I was in a meeting with a fella, and that service that night I was with him, went over to another meeting. He got up and said he wasn't dry in the house last night. He said tears run down the face all over the building. I never seen a soul cry, not one. There wasn't nobody shed no tears. Won't honesty work better than that? I mean, honesty will do, it'll be best to be honest, won't it? 17 got saved in the revival. Well, there's 60 of them got saved in the 1 3 weeks before that in the same place. So you want to be careful. Got to be honest. You want to pad the numbers so it'll make it look like you're successful. I'd like to do the will of God, wouldn't you? Wouldn't you like the Lord to come by and do something out of the ordinary for you? He could tonight. He could do that tonight. He sure could. He healed that little old girl here last night. She's laying right there. And I had a witness in my soul that God had healed her. And today I was looking for her, and she come to see us. And she is all right. Is she all right? Where is she at? Is she here? Where is she, Mother? Sister, is that baby here? That's it. That's the one I'm talking about right there. Look here, doll. Look here at Brother Moore. That's the one. You know, it don't take the Lord along to help you. That's the reason the colored folks down home sang a song, take the Lord along with you. Wherever you go, take the Lord along with you. Wherever you go, take the Lord along with you. Wherever you go, take him along with you wherever you go. You don't have to have a great big choir. You don't have to have a brass band. You don't have to have a long, hired bunch of hippies with gold chains around the neck. Great God, all you have to have is God. Hallelujah. Don't be a chronic ailer. If you get a touch, tell folks you got a touch. Don't look for a chance to lay out of church because you're sick last week. You only be sick this week. Get up out of it. You never will get well if you don't make a move.
Wickedest, wildest thing that ever put shoe leather on the ground in Oklahoma has been saved. Wildest fighters and wreckers we had down there has got old-time religion. That Curly Mayfield that's been by here has raised infidel. Mom and daddy hauled off and locked up in jail for making moonshine. I go to school drunk, stay drunk all day at school many a time. Thought there's no God. Told there's no God. Taught that. That son in the country north of Payton, Oklahoma, an old-time meeting. Doors all open. I believe it's under Brush Arbor out there. But they ain't thought the doors of church open. But I know Curly stood out there and listened. Jesus knocked on his heart. Knock on the infidel's heart. children's been raised wrong, taught wrong, done wrong, all of that. I said there wasn't no harm in it. There's condemnation from God against him. I don't care how many justified, how they wrap it up, and act like you don't know what it is. I'm of the firm opinion anybody that's got good sense knows they're lying, and they know that's sin. They know they're stealing when they steal, and they know that's sin. Curly throwed his old cowboy hat down the aisle. Followed him. That's the only way to get up nerve enough to come in. Sail his hat down the aisle. What's that coming down the aisle? It's a hat. Who's that following? Curly Mayfield. Got saved. Got a pretty good case of it. He's 80 years old, still dainty, just like he did. He's still dainty, just like he did. Just like he did. Now, these fellas sitting up here wasn't born Christians. These people singing up here, they wasn't born Christians. You could be saved, man. I tried that church book religion. I ain't talking about church book religion. Amen? I had a meeting out there in Oklahoma, and an old man, bless his heart, was there. I said, sir, I want to ask you a question. Are you saved? Now, Preacher Moore, he said, I've got my letter laying right over on the door. Well, I said, I didn't ask you nothing about no letter. Strange how you get in the church now, by letter, or I don't know, it's just lots of ways they get in the church that ain't in the Bible. I want to know if you're saved. Well, he said, I've got my letter. Next night I went back to him. I want to ask you. He said, I know it. He said, now I've got my letter over there on the door. Letter fire. I said, I want to know if you've ever been born again, ever got cleaned up. I think a lot of folks have never been saved. I don't think you've ever really got saved. Joined the church, been baptized in water. And I believe in that. You know I do. I love it. I think I'll be baptized as soon as I can after get saved. I really believe that. I believe that. But you know what? I don't think some folks have been saved. Next night I said, listen, Dad, he's an old man. I said, I want you to get saved. Born again. I went back a year later. They had a little testimony, and that old man hit the floor. Brother Moore, he said, I prayed through. He said, I prayed till I got saved. Till God saved me. You should die in your sin. You better wish you'd die in a snowbank somewhere and be saved. I won't mind the load I'm bearing, and I won't mind the clothes I'm wearing. I won't mind the way I'm faring if I can just make it in. If I can just make it in. If I can just make it in. You don't mind if you can make it in. Say it. Sin's gone. Light as a feather, free as a bird. Things that I used to do, I don't do no more. Things that I used to do, I don't do no more. Things that I used to do, I don't do no more. I'm a Christian since I've been born. Have you got it? If you have, you know it. I'm not sure, Brother Moore. We'll hold it here. This is too shaky now. You don't know you're saved. Let's get down here. Be honest. Don't ride along for years just trying to fool yourself and somebody else. So miserable you don't know what to do it yourself. Get saved good. Get your sins out of there. Confess them out of there. Forsake them. Ain't no help to you know how. 51st chapter of the book of Psalms. 51st chapter in the second verse. Wash me thoroughly from mine iniquity. Cleanse me from my sin. I'll tell you what, I believe in washing. The reason my mother called me rusty all my life, because I played marbles every time I could at school. You stayed on my knees. You couldn't hardly get the dirt out of my knees. It's rusty. I'd tell her I'd washed them, but somehow or another I got in too big a hurry. And didn't hardly get the rust off, and she nicknamed me Rusty all my life. When Mama was old, is that you, Rusty? That's Mama. Have mercy. Wash me. Throw this old filthy boy in there and wash him behind his ears and right down in there where most boys won't wash and right up in there. Wash me. Clean me up. Hallelujah. Glory. Thank God. We used to build a fire under the old black pot back home in Oklahoma. Same one we rented that Lord out of that hog, but build a fire. Grandma made homemade soap for Brother Brad out of lye. He'd take the dirt out of there. Fox and gamble like that whole what Grandma had. She'd stand out there and we'd build that fire. That old pot just got to smoking, that water getting hot, and she'd cut that in there. Did you ever use one of them joysticks? Stand out there and punch them clothes. Put them in there. Lord. Don't you like to be clean? Everybody really does. They just don't admit it. Mess around them old filthy, ungodly sin. Die in them and face God and be lost forever. Or be washed. Be washed. You can get a good job here. God will give you a good one. Amen? I had the tobacco habit so bad, I'd swear off one time, I'd quit forever and be on another brand in 30 minutes. I never could quit. I didn't have no overcoming grace. I wasn't one could just lay down cussing and all that and sorry I ever done any of it. I ain't telling you because I'm proud of a thing I done. And I'm not saying that we need to tell you all that every time, but I'm just letting you know he can wash it from you. Wash it. Amen. I walked by a clothesline in Granite City, Illinois, with Brother Ralph Cook before he died. Somebody hung the wash out. Sheets, white sheets and white shirts. And we walked by, and Brother Cook could smell that clean wash, Brother Moore. Wind's blowing our way. It's clean. It's clean. White as the driven snow. Come now. Right now, he said. Don't put it off. You know when you need to get saved? Now. Not another minute later. Tonight, if you're unsaved, don't put it off. Car run over you. You have a heart attack? Sure, it's happening. Now. Can't get to it too quick. Come now, let us reason together, saith the Lord. Though you sin, be discarded. They shall be as wool, though they shall be red as crimson. They shall be white as snow. We're talking about, and you shall die in your sin. Three times he told them, I want to say to you, those boys died. And when they died, they had that on their mind. I'm dying in my sin because I would not accept the Son of God. The ninth chapter of the book of St. John, they brought a boy. It was, well, I'll get to him. I'm going to try to hurry. If I didn't have the flu, I'd preach for 2 hours on, you should die in your sin, boy. It's the pitifulest news as ever. Dropped upon the eardrums of the family that's left of the human family. He died lost. He died wicked. He never fixed it. Here in Psalm 51 and 2, the Bible said, wash me thoroughly from mine iniquity and cleanse me for my sin, for I acknowledge my transgression, and my sin is ever before me. Don't look no further, Lord, it's me. I'm the one that done it. I'm the sinner. Don't look any further. I acknowledge my sin. Forget about what somebody else done. You haven't been busy trying to talk your tongue out about what somebody else doing around here, are you? Think about you and what I must stand before. Wash me from my sin. Cleanse me from it. Against thee and thee only have I sinned and done this evil in thy sight, and thou mightest be justified when thou speakest. Be clear when thou judgest, and he is. Behold, I was shapen in iniquity. In sin did my mother conceive me. Behold, thou desirest truth in the inward part, in the hidden part. Thou shalt make me know wisdom. Purge me with hyssop, and I shall be clean. Wash me, I shall be whiter than snow. Make me to hear joy and gladness, that the bones which thou hast broken may rejoice. Hide thy face from my sins, and blot out all mine iniquity. Clear ain't in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit in me. That's what we got to have. Cast me not away from thy presence. Take not thy Holy Spirit from me. Restore, give it back. Restore, get me back for a while. Restore, backslider coming back. Restore unto me the joy of thy salvation, and uphold me with thy free spirit. You scattered in marsh tonight, to you that are here. I don't know who needs it. I don't know for sure that anyone here needs it. But I'm talking to you about dying in your sin. How'd Daddy leave? Well, we was busted. Had no money. Many of them have left like this. I remember a man in the Old Testament left like that. He couldn't get nothing ahead. Things too tight. Things too tight. When he died, he is in debt. But he feared the Lord. He feared the Lord. Died in that shape. After he died, to come to get his boys, take them off. I just come from where there's three little brick houses up here close to Culpeper. Man run the ghost store said them were slave houses. That's an old plantation, those are slave houses. I drove by them. I tried to picture the morning that them slaves got up at daybreak and come out there on that thousands and thousands of thousand acres that plantation was and had to work like dogs till dark and go in there and hard enough maybe eat and sleep in a little brick home. I tried to picture that. How did he leave? Well, this man died, didn't have no money, didn't have nothing, and here they come to get his boys to make slaves. Mama loved him with all her heart. It's the truth, children. The Bible's full of true experiences for our education. And here Mama was. What would you do? What would I do? If I was old and broke down and had no money, I mean, if I was not that old and didn't have any, and I was in her place, there they go down the road, my boys away from the last I'll see them. I looked on a ledger just south of my place at my neighbor's house the other day, so I want to show you something. An old, old, old book. And here's where Grandpa paid, great-grandpa paid, $1,000 for a black man and his boy. Before he bought it, wrote it down, they purchased him how much he gave for it. Humans, trafficking in humans. He was about to get her boy, but she'd seen a man of God coming. Thank God. They are valuable. I may not be, and I don't profess to anybody be much coming or going, but I'm going to tell you what I'm looking for. I'm honest about it. Every day I live and every day I walk, I look for that good man of God. Put him where I'm at, Lord. Put him where I'm at. Here come one walking down the road. She remembered it. She said, listen. Thou knowest that thy servant, my husband, feared the Lord. He died right. I believe he did. And you know, my father being saved and living right and dying right, did you know God took care of things after he is gone? Did you notice that about Vince Wilson? I come over here at this camp meeting after he died. And I left and went back by their house. If his daughter's here tonight, bless her heart. I went back where Vince lived. And I seen his daughter coming down that steep hill. And I stopped at the foot of it. I've buried Arthur since then. He's with me. Died saved. Arthur died saved. Would you not think it's funny if I told you I know things his wife didn't know about it? She'll never know about it. I was his pastor. But he died saved. He died saved. You don't have to tell the world all about your sin. Now, stay with me. I may shake things up. I ain't trying to. And if these boys don't agree, if they'll tell me, I'll never say nothing. I won't do it. I won't come against the presbytery. No way. Why don't you get that sin out of her? You're going to die at that story? I don't even think it's fair if some fellas run out and trifle on the wife to bring that story home to them and saddle her with that the rest of her life and have to go through that nightmare. I think what they need to do is confess that to God and get that washed out of there and keep their mouth shut and live for God. Yeah, I believe you ought to confess some things, but some things you ought to think you ought to keep your mouth shut about. If you're here tonight and you stole something from me and you know you did, get this altar and pray through. If you don't tell me, all right, that'll be fine. Let's not spread that nowhere. I don't want you to. I think too much of you. Jesus ain't telling everybody. Tell everybody and his dog about your sin. But he's telling those folks, you're dying your sin because you won't confess your sin to me and be saved. It's not healthy for a church pervert backslider to get up and tell what all they done after they got out. And they've been in the church big sin and don't understand that. Pay back too if you're back sin tonight. And let's not tell all the world about it. Let's be a light to them. Does that sound right? Well, have mercy. Ninth chapter of the book of John, behold, he brought to him a man, Matthew, I beg your pardon, sick of the palsy, lying on bed. Jesus, seeing their faith, said unto the sick, I know you couldn't be healed, and I know you're sick, you can't understand it. But no, ain't what he said. He said unto the sick of the palsy, son, be of good cheer, thy sins be forgiven. That's what that boy wanted. He wouldn't have said it wasn't what he wanted. He looked in that young man's eyes. He is sick, son. But that wasn't what he is hurting so much about. It was some sin. Son, he said, your sins be forgiven. Woo, he was feeling better before he got healed. I know he was. He was feeling better before he got healed. You can get forgiveness from God, and it'll put what Brother Bill Addis said, the spizzeritum in your heel. whatever that is. It's resurrection. Sin's a terrible thing. It was Bill's mother who shot his daddy down in that strange woman's yard, and he staggered out in the road and died. Why don't you tell that, Brother Moore? Because Bill tells that in camp meetings, and a person knowing if I can tell it. And he'll tell that to your camp meeting someday if he ain't already. He's told it to ours. Why did he get that plane? Why did he personate? He wants to know you to know that real people, and even his people, got so far out in sin they waited too late. Died. Staggered in the road and died so he wouldn't die in a strange woman's yard. I beg your pardon, that may be a little off, but I've been in camp where he told that. My daddy spent 6 months in an insane asylum because of sin. My father. I'll never forget that night when he run through the house and told everything he could get a hold of against the wall, strong as an ox. My daddy was a man men couldn't put on the ground. He went out in sin, and he got a bad disease. Now, I know this is personal. Well, I know that, but Brother Moore knows that. It rushed to his spine. His mind went out overnight. Mama didn't know what to do. I didn't know what to do. My brother and daddy both in the hospital at the same time. I worked 42 hours a week and went to school every day. They got Roy at the insane asylum. For all them crazy people here, bless their heart. One of them walked up to me today, one day and said, "How can horses drink water when we have a lady out here that can't go blind? Are you an American?" That's scattered, ain't it? No mind. Gone. Next morning, we was down there, our little family. We didn't have nobody. We didn't go to church. Nobody to help us. Daddy looked at Mama and said, "Lethie, what am I doing in here?" Been a hard-working man. Roy said, "There's something went wrong with you." They checked Roy, and that great physician come in and said, "Roy, you've got a bad venereal disease, and you better be glad what happened to you happened to you. It rushed to your brain. One day while I'm talking about you shall die in your sin. You ain't got no mind left. You can't repent. Do it while you can. You may say, 'I will,' and get sick. You get sick. Some people I know, you don't even have mind on getting saved. You'll die and go to hell because you're too much misery to get your mind on God." I saw a fellow standing like a statue out there on that ground at that insane asylum. Then he just took off and on this fast he'd go and went back to stand right where he was. And I said, "You see him, son?" "Yes." Said, "That's the same thing your daddy had, but he has acted slow, and it's mercy that your father's acted fast. This boy ain't got no brain cells left, hard at all. We've cured him, but you can't restore a brain cell, so he has no mind left. Daddy's reacted fast. He went to work. They kept him there for 6 months in the insane asylum, and he worked on the plumbing game and didn't get no money. And his family was up against it, and daddy worried, and daddy suffered. But they cured him and never lost a brain cell, never lost a brain cell, not a one. Got back out there and got back to work, went to work, worked all the rest of his life. He never drank no more of that. I didn't hear daddy cuss anymore. He never really made a profession of faith till he was pretty close to, well, he wasn't dying right then, but he got saved. Remember me in your prayers, so don't forget me. See, Mike, we pay a big price for sin. Boy, you hurt your mother. You hurt your daddy. You hurt yourself, lady. You hurt right now. Right now, tonight. They're calling my home. I know a broken home. I'm talking to them people. I'm trying to get them people to straighten out. I'm trying to tell them. Woman sat in my meeting the other night, divorcing her husband this week, and them little boy. A little boy in the Christian school breaks down. He's 12 years old. He breaks down and weeps. And Grandpa says, "What's the matter, son?" "Oh," he said, "nothing. It's because his daddy is living with that other woman over there. Got them two children. He's supporting that woman. Them two children won't support his own two. His wife, white woman, runs a black man over there. You shall die in your sins." Your little boy standing to test him. crying. And listen, sin is insane. Daddy got out there and there never was no more of that. I don't tell that very often. But look, I'm talking to you. I don't know what's a sinner in here or not, but I just thought I'd talk about it. And is your children lost? Listen, the most important thing that can ever happen to your children is for them to get saved. Get right with God. That woman sat in my meeting the other night, and I preached my best, but she wouldn't have that. She determined the devil gets you so wrapped up in that old sin till you won't quit it till it's too late. Too late. Too late. I buried a boy a while back. He run two beer dives, and he hit his car into a bridge and buck and took him out. His folks were saved people. They grasped at everything they could grasp. And one of the brothers got praying, kind of got excited, and he said, oh, I've had a vision. He was saved. Well, I hope that's so. Hope that's so. But when you're drunk and you run into a bridge deal like that and you just killed instantly, it's doubtful you got saved. But you can be saved. Now, I don't know, but listen, are you like this boy? I don't know whether you're saved or not, but he need to be saved. And Jesus said, your sins be forgiven. We don't have a sinner's prayer repeated here. I don't know just how to tell you what prayer to pray. Sometimes you do need to repent. But you don't have to have fly words of oratory. Just come, like you are. God saved me a sinner. He can say, he saved this boy. And there's a bunch of them criticized Jesus. Jesus, knowing their thoughts, he always does. And said, wherefore think ye evil in your heart? For where is it easier to say, thy sins be forgiven thee, or to say, arise and walk out? He even just sees that and says. And he said, but that you may know that the Son of Man hath power upon earth to forgive sin. He said, rise, take up thy bed and walk. And he arose and took up his bed. Are you saved tonight? Father, get us a song. Maybe you'll come to the altar. We got time. In fact, the time we spend at the altar, we'll wish the rest of our lives we'd have spent more of it there. I mean, after a while, we'll see the value of it more than we do now. We get to that crossing, we'll be glad for all those times we prayed. Are you going to be like Clyde Chatwell on Chatwell Auto Salvage on South Robinson, Oklahoma City? Cover the block on the west side of South Robinson, Oklahoma City. I got saved one night 45 years ago, a young man. Clyde Chatwell, older man, of course, he was in that bit of setting back. He just come to see about that little church where two girls go on Sunday school. And God knocked on his heart. And Clyde sat on the bench and cried, wouldn't come to front, wouldn't come to altar. Clyde cried. They went back and prayed to Clyde, and Clyde knelt between the bench and cried. He got up and told us to testify different times. 20 years ago on her deathbed, I promised Mother to meet her. Prayed for me all her life to get saved, and I promised her would. 20 years later, 838 Southeast 29, Oklahoma City, Clyde Chatwell, on and off later, Chatwell Auto Salvage, got saved. You can get saved. Will you stand, please? And Ralph, do what you want to about a song here. Get some good neighbor to play or sing. Now listen, we ain't gone yet. This ain't all of it. It ain't over. There may be someone here. This could be their last opportunity. I don't know. But I'm through here, and I'm here now. And I won't pray with you. If you're a sinner or a backslider, a sinner regardless, if you're backslid into sin or you've never been saved, come down. Let the Lord save you. You can get saved. He can save you. You don't have to die in your sin. You can die a Christian. But more, I can never be a Christian. You know what the devil does to some people? He says, look how you have to live. Forget about that. I can overcome nothing. Well, I make a New Year's resolution, break every one of them. You don't worry about that when you come to seek the Lord. Well, I just don't think I can ever give up. Some things I'm doing, don't worry about that. Come down because you're sorry of your sin and pray with us. God will take care of that. God will take. You're not getting a bunch of folks that ain't merciful and not kind. We know that maybe overnight you're not just going to be what folks have been here 40 years in this, but come and be saved. Get your sins washed away. And then come to church. You'll see. You'll see a new life, a new feeling. Right with God. All right, while we play and sing, go right on, my brother. If you're a sinner.